Yo, 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 what's up? It's your boy Derek here at the Weekly Polls with my best friends at the Tevin minus the I and Ricky Z. What's up, guys?
Yo, what's happening?
Hi! We out here balling.
You think they can discern our voice for now? I mean, they know Derek.
I don't know.
Because he's in the beginning, but Ricky.
He's got that cool accent.
That's right. That's right.
Everyone can hear it in my videos. Noctura! Dude, when he said that the other day, I almost fucking fell out of my chair.
And your laugh sounds like the what I think the axe from Barbaric would laugh like. So,
dude,
the whole axe is just him all the time.
Yeah, I am axe. Like, I live for this shit, dude. I have that natural crackhead energy.
It's like a mix
energy.
Of like Jack Black and Billy Crystal. That's what it sounds like if Mike Wazowski was Jack Black, you know?
Oh my god. Just add a little bit of meth on the end of that crystal.
That's right.
Oh, I think my neighbors have some.
Oh shit.
Well, maybe not. The guy got busted. He did like a lot of years in jail, so we'll see.
Oh damn.
He's clean. He's clean.
They were hiding it in my yard, apparently.
Oh my god.
I have some property and I was like, hey, we think they might be hiding drugs in your woods. Can we take our drug dogs back there? And I was like, I guess.
I mean, wouldn't that make you suspicious if you said no?
No, so you want to know, right? I know we're barely through intros, right?
It's okay.
Right.
My wife calls me. I'm at work, and she's like, hey, so the police are here. But I didn't know they were police because they were all dressed in, like, black. And I'm like, oh, they're, like, for real police.
They look out here looking for aliens.
And she's like, yeah, they asked me if they – she says they asked me if they could borrow a shovel. And I was like, what? And she said, so I gave them a shovel because they had to go look at something in our woods. And I was like, first of all, they can't go back there without asking first. And also, you literally just framed me for murder. Because they're definitely digging for a body, which turns out was what they were digging for.
Oh, God. Shit, fuck. Oh, my
dude.
God.
So they found not a human.
Thankfully. Yeah.
They found somebody somebody buried a dog.
Well, they haven't found it yet. The one that
cue
you
cue the
yet.
Fucking oh. SVU theme song.
Dude, somebody buried. They found a dog. And I was like, what? Who buries a dog in a stranger's yard? That's what kind of person does this? And then they found.
Obviously, it wasn't John Wick.
Dude, tons of meth they found. They found $120,000. They found a gun.
It's too bad you weren't out there looking for the money.
I told them, well, I went with them. It was state, county, and local cops. And they were like, take us around. I was like, well, I can tell you where I would hide drugs if it were me. So I took them through a walk.
not incriminating yourself.
And I was like, just so you know, if you find any 5-gallon buckets full of money, I put those there. I just can't remember where I put them all.
This comic podcast has turned into a true crime.
Dude, it got real. And they're like, hey, we're bringing the dogs in, so you're going to want to step back. And I was like, can I watch? They said, yeah, but you got to be on your side of the property. And they pulled open the I live next door to a trailer park, as I mentioned previously. And they pulled out. Lots of stuff. I don't know how much meth weighs, but I would estimate roughly a buttload. And it was like, you know, those like those foil bricks, but they were in a gallon Ziploc bag. They pulled out like 6 or 7 of those.
Holy shit.
And they found 4 pounds of weed, 4 pounds of heroin. And they didn't say how much meth, but it was enough that there was a lot of jail.
Yeah.
So they literally found like a solid, like a couple newborn babies worth of drugs.
Yeah, basically. And now I don't know what all they found on my side of the property line, but they found like an and one drawstring basketball kind of bag.
Oh gosh, okay, yeah.
And they didn't say what was in it, but stuff was in it.
Yeah.
So let's get to the first topic of discussion. Diamond distribution. What the fuck, guys?
I'm with you. I mean, this just really affects just me and you, Derek.
Yeah, because, you know, Ricky got his comics on time.
Lucky. Yeah, I know lucky. People.
That's right. Well, the cops. You know the cops, apparently.
Yeah. I was like, hey.
That's how you were able to
call them up. I'm like, Diamond, don't even. And they're like, yes, sir. We're sorry.
This is like the second time this has happened to me with Diamond. There was one time way back, Tevin, before we started going to the boardroom and we were still going to the other one and I went there to get my comics one day by myself, and they were like, oh, they're late. I'm like, what do you mean they're late?
Yeah.
My shop says, they go, well, it's diamond. And that's just what they say. And I'm like,
they're just incompetent there for some reason. I don't know.
There's a reason that Marvel and DC don't use them.
Yeah.
So fortunately, that leaves the little guys with them.
Yeah, we weren't able to pick up our comics until, I think the episode's going to go up on Friday. So Thursday, we weren't able to get them until Thursday of this previous week. And so we haven't really been able to read any of the stuff that we had on our list that we even wanted to talk about.
I'm staring at my stack right now and I'm salivating.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't even get to read Beta Ray Bill, and I was expecting like a whole 2-hour conversation. But
we're gonna have a whole episode.
It's coming.
Just Beta Ray Bill,
just
bro.
Dedicated to
Dude,
Beta Ray Bill.
Do you want to know how bummed I am? Because so comic book couples counseling. Have you guys listened to them at all?
Yes.
They're interesting. I like the way they do things, and their theme song is awesome. But
retweet.
Dude, it's so good. But anyway, they did a special Beta Ray Bill episode, like just as soon as it came out, because they couldn't contain themselves.
Yeah,
and I can't listen to it. I want to listen, and I can't.
I gotta know. Dude, does Bill and Scuttlebutt kiss?
Kiss on the mouth.
Right on the lips.
I don't even know who Scuttlebutt is, so.
You're going to learn.
Someday.
Yeah, he'll have to let me just borrow his copies, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I'll get you up to speed. Before we do the Beta Ray Bill extravaganza, you'll definitely get to read them all.
It will literally be an hour of me being silent. And they'll probably love it. They'll love the whole thing.
Yeah, because we love it when you shut the fuck up.
That's right. That was what your hashtag was for. That's why you
hashtag
put the hashtag
fuck out. Tevin.
Tevin, I know I'm new here, but Tevin, does he hurt your feelings when he says these things?
We'll talk off the podcast.
Words are weapons, Derek.
I know. I think he just stays friends with me, so he has someone to go to the comic book shop with. Like, at this point, I'm worthless to him.
If I found anyone else, if I found a paper bag that was willing to go with me, I'd go.
Should I put that bag over your head and name you Billy?
See, we've just started the circle of hurtful words now.
It's never ending.
So you guys are only saying nice stuff to me, so I guess I'm cool.
We like Ricky. We've never met you in person.
That's the key, because most people have met me in person.
Yeah, Ricky, you're like an enigma right now, bro.
Yeah, notice how I'm talking to people in many states away versus people where I live.
That might be a sign.
I'm not very well.
Oh my god. We need to run.
So this Saturday, we have our first interview with Jake Cohen and Funny Figs over at Astounding Tales. That's going to be interesting.
Ooh. Yeah, it's a good read. I look forward to talking to them about it. So it's going to be a good interview, I think.
Ricky, did you have the chance to read it yet?
I have not. I started.
Gotcha.
Finish.
That's okay. We'll have all the time in the world Saturday.
I got kind of out of order and was like, oh, crap, I shouldn't read this yet. I gotta read this stuff for today.
I did bombard you with emails, and I'm not very organized, and I sent them to you in pretty much a random order. My bad.
Well, yeah, it doesn't help that I'm also dumb, so.
So let's talk about some of the indie comics that we did read. What do y'all want to hit first?
Let's talk about Fantastical Crimes Unit by Sean French.
You're so smart. That's the first one on my list of order of what I read.
Let's go.
Good. See, that tells you how it's one mind here at the Weekly Pool.
Simpatico.
We're on the same wavelengths.
That's right. We're all watchers, and we're all, you know, just doing our thing. So
I want to be
this one was a unique book, and I really enjoyed it. I don't usually like black and white stuff. You know, we've kind of talked about black and white comics on the podcast before, but this one was really good. I enjoyed this one.
I really enjoyed the concept because, like, my favorite genre is, like, goes in order of, like, crime / noir and then westerns. And this was, like, crime and noir mixed with, like, hella fantasy, and I was living for it.
Yeah, and you usually don't like fantasy books, so it's good.
I really don't. I'm not a big fantasy guy.
Yeah, what do you think Beta Ray Bill is?
Beta Ray Bill is horse alien beautiful love. That's
you're right. That's
Beta
not
Ray
fantasy
Bill
at all.
That's nowhere near fantasy.
When I say fantasy, I mean like Lord of the Rings and stuff. Like I like Lord of the Rings, but anything past that, I'm just like, I don't know.
That stuff's for nerds.
Yeah, that stuff's for fucking people playing D&D.
Isn't that coming from the two people who cried when they read Beta Ray Bill?
I'm not even gonna lie though. I wish
First of all, I didn't cry.
Okay, I cried like a bitch.
Sorry. I mean, I don't mean to insult you, you know.
Huh.
The state's away, and I don't mean to insult you.
But for the record, I'm not going to slander the D&D guys because I wish I had friends to play it with. I know, but I honestly truly wish I had friends to play it with because it looks fun as fuck.
Also, playing the odds, it's probably half the listeners.
Vin Diesel's listening right now. He's a D&D guy.
Is he really?
He's a D&D guy.
He's
I see the pictures and videos of people playing it. I'm like, damn, I want to be a fucking orc or some shit.
Dude, you know what helps with D&D a lot?
What's that?
Beer.
Family.
I just burped like hella. So if like, y'all heard that, I just burped like hella, dude.
Yeah.
So Sean French, Steve Mardo, Steve Levine, and Rob Jones all are on this fantastical crimes unit.
Oh, and there's a game based with this comp.
Yeah,
there is. That was cool.
There's a game based with it too. I think the comic is based on the games instead of the game based on the comic. Oh,
I didn't look that deep into it. That's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't looked that deep into the game either. But I that's what I infer because the characters from the comic are in the game. So I think the game came first, and then they're writing the comic.
Yeah, with you saying that, I'm looking at the double page spread that they had. It's kind of like that angle that phone games are on. You know what I mean? Like the Farmville and shit.
Yeah.
So that would make sense.
Just like a top down sort of look.
Yeah.
I just want to real quick. I'm really proud of Tevin for properly using infer. because a lot of people struggle with that.
Thank you.
Anyway. Yeah, I thought that game, it looked like, I tried to get in an app store, but apparently it's like a Steam thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I mentioned last time we spoke, I am an old person, so Steam is not in my purview.
I'm with you, Ricky. But, Steam's Tevin's
you got your Sega Genesis in the garage.
I do actually have one in the garage, that is true.
Yeah, same. There you go. How'd I know?
But, yeah, when I was looking at that, it looked like maybe it was a game that might have even been unrelated and they just featured characters. I couldn't even tell, but I mean that's pretty cool though. Like, it's kind of like back to what we mentioned last week with Radiant Black and doing that total experience thing where you get you know multiple areas that you're dipping into so you can kind of surround yourself in awesomeness.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Scratch and sniff. We need to bring back Scratch and Sniff.
I agree.
To be sniffing all these different fantasy stuff. I don't even know, like Wilderberry. I don't know what would that smell like. I don't know.
Teen spirit.
Anyways.
What? I'm just thinking of what your Twitter posts for. Like, anytime somebody says what's that smell, I'm like teen spirit.
Every time, dude.
So, I'm a pumpkins guy.
I mean, there was a phase of Derek's life where it was all Kurt Cobain. So,
dude, there was a point in my life where I literally would just like drink myself into a coma, listen to Nirvana, and try to paint because I thought I was being spiritual or some shit.
Well, that sounds like a very 22-year-old thing.
Retweet.
Yeah. No, when I was 22, I was like, Nirvana's not even good. Smashing Pumpkins are better.
Oh my God!
But secretly,
want to compare Cherub Rock with Smells Like Teen Spirit?
First of all, it's Cherub. Secondly,
Cherub.
Secondly, I definitely believe that Smashing Pumpkins are better, but I never really thought Nirvana wasn't good. So,
isn't their guitarist bald?
Hey,
I'm
not just that. Also, their singer and primary lyricist.
Oh my God!
Oh, it's all the same person, right?
You got a problem with bald people?
No. He better not.
I was bald like the first 18 years of my life.
He used to not be bald. He had long hair at one point, and then he shaved that thing off.
I didn't know. What's
and name apparently, name? What's her what's face? His name? Darcy, whatever that used to play bass. That's Billy Corgan that you're talking about. Yes. But their former Cherub bass Rock. Player used to live in the same county that I went to high school in, and I didn't even know.
Dude, I don't know anything about the Smashing Nike Pumpkins.
Yeah. Well, you're missing out, man.
I guess I am.
I don't think we are.
Anyway, am I supposed to are we supposed to like I'm new, so am I supposed to like share stuff about how I felt about this book here? Or
absolutely. Yeah. Tell us how you felt.
I don't
want to
step on
what
toes.
I liked about it.
No, there's no step. Even if you do step on toes, that's the point.
I felt good.
Okay. thank you for sharing.
Good story. I'm really good at talking.
Coming to this AA meeting and sharing.
You are welcome.
Oh, my God.
No, I did. So I don't have a lot of notes for it, but.
Yeah, because it wasn't long.
Right. But, like, I liked the whole vibe, right?
Yes.
But the spider on page 4 is sick. So just
look, yes,
like when you get in there, there's like a spider in the corner that just looks right? crazy cool.
Yes.
And then like those, like the subsequent pages, where it's kind of like, it's not a collage. It's just like the overhead view of the room.
Right. That's why I was just talking about how that it's like, looks like it's on the phone game.
It's cool and funny. Like if you're looking at it, it's a lot of goofy crap in there and
it's
very enjoyable.
It's very Blair's Waldo.
Yeah, and I just enjoyed the the just fun, lighthearted stuff, and like I felt like I would really like to see this done as like an animated web short.
Yes,
it seemed like it would have that vibe, like 5 minute, 10 minute clips.
Yeah,
that would just would be good.
I'm looking at the last page, and it's like the three centaurs, and then like three Skeletor looking dudes.
Yep,
like it's really cool, man.
Since you said Skeletor, like, I'm not going to go into He-Man because I've only watched the first episode. But same. How stinking good is Mark Hamill as Skeletor?
Retweet, dude. Oh, my God.
I'm really hyped for that.
It's like as soon as he starts talking, you're like, this is steroid Joker. Like, he's got that. You know it's him. But it's Joker, but not the same. So it's so good.
Skeletor.
That's the thing with all of Mark Hamill. Like, you just instantly recognize Mark Hamill, and you're like, oh, that's Mark Hamill. But
which is crazy, because he doesn't – it's not like he uses his regular speaking voice, and it's not like he does every single voiceover the same. He does different stuff,
and you
just know it's him. It's almost like it like has this, like, quality that kind of pours out of it, and you're like, that just feels like it's him.
Yeah, it's very
unique.
Just very
good.
I like to compare, like – going back to heavy metal, like I like to compare it to like Randy Bly from Lamb of God. Like, but I think of Randy Bly, like nobody else sounds like him, and I don't think anybody else sounds like Mark Hamill either.
Yeah, there's like certain vocal tones where you can kind of just tell.
It's like as soon as you hear it, like
you could throw Randy into a nowhere band, and I would immediately recognize him.
That's how like Corey Taylor, Dave Draymond, those guys, you know who it is. Even if they don't sing the way they sing in their standard groups, you know it's them.
Yeah, like when he did Stone Sour, like you just knew it was him.
Yeah. Or did you hear him? Oh, did you hear Corey Taylor do Rainbow in the Dark?
Yes!
Oh my God. That was so good.
So good,
dude.
That's
like one of my favorite Dio songs.
Dude, loved it.
Look, I like Dio when he was an elf, too. What is it? Hoochie Woman, I think, is the name of the song in Elf.
Well, I think
not the movie Elf, but the band.
I think
Elf.
You showed that to me one day.
Yeah, not the movie.
That'd
be weird.
Song. Right?
I think my favorite Stone Sour cover was when they did The Dark by Metal Church. Did you listen to that?
I don't know if I actually heard that one.
You'll definitely have to go listen to that. R.I.P. Mike Howe from fucking Metal Church. He died like 3 days ago, but man.
Dude, this has been a rough week for
people. It's been a terrible week, dude.
Rock and metal people passing left and right all week.
Let's just take a minute to love our people, Dusty Hill and Joey Jordanson.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Look, I told Derek the other day, I said, if we lose a guitarist and then a singer, like, I'm just done. I don't know. What are we going to do? That's just a rocking band in the sky. You know, what are we going to do?
Yeah. Dude, I cried a little bit yesterday when I didn't get home until like 6:30, and I didn't know that Dusty Hill had died. And like, I seen it come up on the TL, and I'm like, fuck me,
just
dude.
Just a bummer.
Yeah, super bummer.
And that's like Joey Jordison, like even if you weren't a fan, I wasn't allowed to listen to Slipknot when they were really taking off. But I got older, and they're still like, I don't love everything they do, but musically they're so far above what a lot of people gave them credit for. And Joey Jordison, for me, as a young teen getting into drums, he just blew my mind because he was just so good.
But even if
he was terrible, when you're like a 46-year-old dude just passing away, and as far as I've seen, they haven't said why. That's just like, it's just a bummer.
That's what I was going to mention too, is like, Dusty, he's 74, I think. And then Joey's just like 44, right?
And and then Mike Howe from Metal Church was only 55.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I guess all those years just catch up to you. I don't know.
I guess, man. But back to, like, Joey real quick. Like, we just talked about Mark Hamill and Randy Bly. Like, I felt that way about Joey on the drums.
Yeah, he was – you knew – and, one, it also helps that they – I don't want Corey Taylor to show up at my house and punch me in the head. But they kind of –
he might.
They helped kind of almost, in a lot of ways, mainstream metal. In a way that isn't like gross and you know, but they brought a lot of stuff
like Five Finger, but
no, but they're better, so it doesn't
matter. They are better.
But we're not even gonna talk about Five Finger. That's a whole other conversation.
They have so much skill and they're just technically precise all throughout, while also being insane.
Yes.
But they could get radio play with certain things, especially depending on the station. And you knew it was Joey Jordison every time. And the great thing with, and again, I'm not like a huge Slipknot fan, but like Max Weinberg as the new drummer that they've had, Max Weinberg, Jay Weinberg, son of Max Weinberg. Would be a huge difference. He has done it. Like, he sounds similar, like the way he plays. Clearly it's intentional, but like, he's so skillful that he can kind of emulate that style. Kinda it's just the bell play, all that stuff, and his speed with the bass. He was definitely top tier guy.
Yes, absolutely. Like, when I was in middle school, like, that was like the first time I ever saw, like, heard of Slipknot, and it's like everybody at school had a fucking Slipknot t-shirt on. It's like, what's that? Who's that? Like, I had no idea what it was, but I thought it fucking looked cool, and I had to know. And then, like, you get internet access at your home for the first time, and you just start digging.
Yeah, because I mean, I never really listened to much Slipknot, to be honest with you. I knew songs like Psychosocial and stuff like that, like their big hits, but I never really dove into their albums.
I
wasn't like a deep diver. Like, I would try to sneak stuff, but you know, there was stuff that wasn't allowed in my house, and I was like, I knew my parents would catch me because I always get caught. So, but I mean, I remember, like, I don't know why. I know it's a radio song, so like big Slipknot fans would be like, "Ew, you're lame," but like Duality for me was such a good one with the drums. The drums in it are just so good.
I love Duality, man. My favorite Slipknot song of all time is probably either Wait and Bleed or Surfacing.
So there's somebody online, I can't remember the name of the group, but they do like weird, like, bluegrass Slipknot covers.
Sick.
It's so funny, and I can't remember the name. Just like type it in, and they do some, but they use like funny instruments and like banjos and different stuff. Yeah. The one guy was playing like a trash can, which I guess Slipknot does. They play trash cans too, but you know, it was like, it was just
a trashier trash can.
I think they had like a washboard. I think they were using a washboard at one point. Like, just funny. There you go. Anyway, so there we go. There's our RIP moment, I guess.
There's our RIP moment.
This is a very musical infused episode. I love it.
Fuck yeah, dude. All
right. Well, if you want, I mean, we can talk about basketball too. If you guys, I know that's like your thing, right?
Oh yeah, we can get to that. Basketball. we can totally get to that.
That'll be the moment when I get fired.
Oh my god.
Maybe we'll see. It can't be any worse than my talks. So, but we'll see. We'll get to
Hashtag fuck Tevin.
All right. So, what's the next indie comic we're gonna talk about?
Can we do Bigfoot Frankenstein?
Yes, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Whoa. So, for anybody that doesn't know, if after we talk about Bigfoot Frankenstein, if your comic shop uses Previews World, it is available for pre-order, and I pre-ordered it because I want physicals of this.
Yeah, let's get it.
Vernon Smith.
I don't
blame
you.
this was... Derek had sent me this to me a while ago, and we talked
about this was
it.
Actually one of the first ones I got. It's in my first indie spotlight, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and we pushed it along to Ricky, and I mean, I love this comic. I think this is a grade A indie. You know, this is
so funny.
It is. Dude,
it's great.
And it's wholesome. Like, it totally, like, gave me the wholesomeness that Beta Ray Bill gave me.
It's like, yeah, it's like good feels, and it's like fun, and it was, and it was clean. Like, I could share that with younger readers, could enjoy it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Fun for the whole family.
Like, I think, like, my favorite panels were, like, when he first came, when he first resurrected the Bigfoot, and he just, like, looks at him, he's like, hey, and Bigfoot looks at him, he's just like, hi.
Yeah, that was I stopped. My wife was sitting next to me. I was reading it in bed, and she's sitting next to me watching, I don't even know, like Chicago Fire or something I didn't care about. And I was like, hey, you got to look at this. And she pauses it, and I had her just read that couple panels right there, and then she started laughing because it's so stupid, but it's funny.
It is. It's hilarious. It's so good.
Okay. And this is a comic that doesn't take itself too seriously. And
no.
I love it.
I love it for sure.
No, like they gave it like its own little lore. And
yeah, absolutely.
Who did it? It's by Action Lab, right? Yep. The company.
Mark Bertolini and Vernon Smith. Vernon's actually the one that reached out to me on Twitter.
Well, good job,
his
Vernon.
Twitter handle is at Vernon Draw. So, you know, if you want to add him on Twitter, tell him how great this book is. I mean, it's fantastic. It really
is. I love it so much. Yeah. My mom is like, she gets super fixated on shit. And right now she's like obsessed with like the supernatural, specifically Bigfoot. So like, I might fuck around. Yeah, I might fuck around and buy this comic and just like give it to her and be like, here, read this.
Do y'all have like random people around you that have like Bigfoot silhouettes in their yard? Or is that just that's just me?
No, okay. That must just be you. But I will say I went to one of the local flea markets and people were selling them.
We have them. Like we'll just see them. It's cracks me up every time because we'll be driving. And like at Christmas, they'll put like a scarf on it and like funny crap. But they hide them in their trees, kind of funny. So you'll be driving by a yard, you won't see it. And then like after a year of driving by the same place, you're like, wait a second, is that Bigfoot? And,
I'd want to put one on like my roof.
Yeah,
just Bigfoot on the roof. That could be a fucking hit song. Bigfoot on the roof.
Oh my god.
You guys ready for my notes? I got notes on this.
I love when people take notes because I don't. Freeball it. So, Ricky, let's see what you got.
You know, I'm a quick aside real quick. In the locker room in high school, a group of dudes used to do their own parody of Tom Petty's Free Fallin'.
But it was
Free Fallin'. And I was like, ew, gross. Why are you just put your
underwear on. You fucking dweebs.
It's gross, guys.
What?
But anyway. So, notes. this is all script.
How did we get on that side?
Because I said free balling.
Follow the trails, Tevin. Jeez.
God. My bad. This tells you how much guy? I ignored Derek.
You would have never made it in Hansel and Gretel, bro.
Derek asked me why I never listen to his recommendations, and I just don't hear his recommendations. I ignore him.
he just be ignoring everything I say.
Gosh, I can't believe we invited Tevin on this podcast.
We'll have to meet up after this, talk about kicking him off the show. You know?
Oh my god.
I agree.
Wait, did you say that or did Tevin. I say that?
How many times can I say hashtag fuck Tevin?
I went with hashtag unfollow Tevin because, you know, I'll keep it PG.
That's better.
Yeah.
Because I want to get the kids involved.
Yeah, you guys are very much the adults here, and I am the angry teenager.
It's like what we talked about before. When you make it R-rated, less people get involved. If I make it PG-13, we'll get people to leave that guy alone. Unfollow Tevin, and all the kids join in.
More people went and saw Krampus than they went and saw The Evil Dead. So
Tevin's going to show up to my house with an army of fifth graders.
I'm not going to do a thing. I'm going to sit here and enjoy my life. You do not bother me. Anyway.
So sorry. Oh yeah. Okay. So page one. There's a guy. There's a guy at the bottom taking cell phone pics, like around the pile of Bigfoots.
Yes.
I don't know why. I just thought that was really funny. Just because they're all like piled around it. Bunch of jerks shot all the Bigfoots, and then he's just like taking pictures. I thought that was stupid, but fine. Because it's always that person, right? Anytime you're anywhere, you're like, hey, guys, we're having a time. Not, I don't want to say nice time because they killed all the Bigfoots, but they're having a time, take a fun pictures, time.
It didn't happen.
And then some clown's like, I got to take a picture every moment. Everybody stand there real quick, really still, like this is happening live. Like, I hate you.
I keep my selfie stick in my back pocket.
So anyway, then the narration on page 2 about like his evil genius rantings being unimportant. And then he like kind of breaks fourth wall a little and is like, no, it's not. That cracks me up.
Yeah.
That whole thing where it's like the back and forth with the narration kind of throughout it. It's like the comical comic booky silliness all throughout the thing.
That was probably one of my favorite parts of it too, was just the whole narration throughout the whole book.
Like even the little stuff where he was like, he's setting up his little science camp and Bigfoot's like, hey, where'd all this stuff go? And you just have like, or the narrator's like, where'd all this stuff go? You just had like a camp or a backpack.
Yeah.
And then like later on, he's like, oh, your car's a hearse. Oh, I guess that's how you set up all that stuff. just the little funny little callbacks. Like him arguing with the narrator, which I don't know, maybe that's like supposed to be the voice in his head. I don't know what that is. It's just funny. I enjoyed it.
It's good. I like when it was like he's the great, 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 I forget how many great grandchild of Frankenstein.
It's just funny the way that they did it. And it kind of had, like I was talking about Space Oddities last week, just that kind of humorous. There's a story, but it's jokes. There's jokes. And it's not. Like it's almost like the story is secondary to the having fun.
Yes.
Tell me why he's clean shaven and then all of a sudden he just has facial hair.
Science. I'm glad you saw that because I had that thought too the first time I read it, but I was like, whatever.
Why he's clean shaven and then all of a sudden he has facial hair.
It's such a small detail.
I'd say it's the same reason that there was just randomly complete sunlight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was also funny when Bigfoot is what did they call him? They didn't keep calling him Bigfoot. He called him something else. He called him Frank.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When Frank was like, "Why is it all sudden? Why is it light all of a sudden?" And he's like, "Don't worry about it. Just whatever."
And they show up at the girl. They try to save that girl or whatever. And then the little boy walks up and he's like, "Hey!" And then once again, "Hi."
That's exactly what I think his voice is like.
Like
the narwhal from Elf. That's what remember that the narwhal in Elf? Hi buddy, hope you find your dad. that's how I think he talks.
He probably sure.
All right. I like this read.
I loved it too. Anything else we want to say about Bigfoot?
It's cool. Go buy it
up, dude. Previews World, it's available. I think it drops in September. I think it's like the 15th.
Yeah, buy it on the internet.
Yeet. All right, we got one more, the third one. This was actually one of the most recent ones that we were sent. Darling. Number 1 and 2. And I will say I've seen some of our other Twitter homies posting like videos of them in their stacks. And they have physicals of this book.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah. I think one of them was my homie Dragon Ranger, and there was another one, but I can't think right off. So if you're listening, I saw you.
There you go.
I'm wondering. I kind of want to hit up the Comics Burrito guys because the Comic Burrito is the one who got me turned on to SourcePoint as a company. I knew who SourcePoint was, but I hadn't really dipped into them. And then they were like, hey, man, you should read this book called Floppy Cop. And I was like...
Floppy
Cop. I don't really want to. And then they're like, no, for real. So then I watched they did a video where they like the three of them read it and they sped it up. You just watch them read it and then talk about it. Yeah. And I was like, crap, I gotta buy this book. And then conveniently in the discount bin, my LCS had the first two issues. And it's a SourcePoint book and it's flipping hysterical. And they have other books that are out that I need to check out. They've had some good quality, a lot of good feedback from a lot of people, but and Darling to me wasn't really any different than what I'd heard about their other stuff. Just seemed like a really good quality book.
I was blown away.
Yeah, it was really heavy.
Truly,
so heavy,
and it's real. You know, it's just it feels real when you read it.
Well, and if you don't mind if I just kind of real quick I won't read the whole thing, but the foreword.
Yes.
At the beginning.
Absolutely.
To me, I think that that made the rest of the book way more real, especially yes. if you've known anybody who's gone through this kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
But for him, you know, him to talk about his brother passing away from a heroin overdose.
And to kind of
talk about it, and then talking about, you know, he left him his journals, and he's, you know, he goes through his brother's journals and all this different stuff, and talking about how it makes him feel a little bit, just briefly. Obviously, it's only a couple of short paragraphs, but I think it's worth mentioning.
Absolutely.
They're donating a portion of the proceeds for every book sold to the programs that help people struggling with drug and alcohol abuse. And they also put out there, if you've lost someone, you're not alone, email us at darlingthecomic@gmail.com. So to me, that made the book more real, obviously, but also throughout the book. Special. Yeah. And throughout the book, I mean, I've known some people have gone through this, some people more at a distance and some people a little more closely. And the stuff throughout this book is very similar, even just the images, not the dialogue, but the images that they put out is very similar to the stuff that you hear these people describe what they're dealing with.
Like, and as someone, I work in healthcare, and I've worked in healthcare for a long time. And a lot of what I do now is I go to these like Suboxone clinics and like where people are trying to clean up, and it's like, it really kicks you in the nuts, man. I feel like everybody knows at least one person that's either been addicted or they have passed away or whatever. Yeah. So it sends it home, man.
Yeah, it's awful. Just to see somebody, even if you don't necessarily know or care deeply about somebody, but if you know that they're dealing with it, it's rough. And then it's more. It's worse if you know them, and you know, at least on a personal level, like it's going to be worse for you if you know that person more deeply. But I mean, I know of some of the ones that I've seen where they're, you know, they leave their kids, not even because they passed away, but because they're dealing with just all the time with dope sickness all the time, and they can't be there because they got to go to rehab, court ordered or otherwise.
I mean, we're going through a generation of kids who are born addicted.
Yeah, and that's what – I mean, a lot of my neighbors are their kids without parents. I mean, their parents are around, but they're in jail or prison.
And like going on that, we're getting a generation that's being raised by grandma and grandpa.
Yes, that's a lot of my neighbors are grandparents raising their grandkids because the parents are in, it's a lot of them, it's meth. There's a decent amount of heroin over here too, but it's meth mostly, but it's awful. So then when you're seeing as this book plays out and you're getting into some of the details that it's like kind of casual.
You can see the crack lines in his arm.
Yeah. And it's like a nonchalant, the way the main character is kind of approach, and it is, you know, typical, like whatever, man, it's fine, because he's caught up in it. And I felt like they did a really good job of kind of displaying how he's caught up in it, and he probably knows deep down, this is not good, but he can't shake it, and he doesn't know how to stop it, and he doesn't want to admit it or whatever the issues are.
The panel, like the whole page that fucked me up the most was when he's at the diner with his ex-girlfriend. And she bails him out of jail. He keeps asking her about her mother. Yep. And then finally at the end, she finally tells him, like, she's dead. You were there at the funeral.
Yep, I wrote that down.
Oh, my God. I couldn't even keep – like, I just sat there for a minute. And I was like, fuck, dude.
I was sitting up here reading it, like, right just probably about a half hour before you guys called.
He just lights a cigarette.
I came in from fixing my lawnmower, and then I was like, hey, I gotta run upstairs and read this book before we go.
This heavy hitter
and then
book.
I like stopped for a second, and I stood up and was like, huh.
Yes, yeah, Steve.
I wrote that line down because I was just like, that's when, out of all that other dialogue, which was all, you know, significant stuff, but that one, I was like, oh.
Like, this book is heavier than Andre the Giant, and Hulk Hogan could have never body slammed this one at WrestleMania, dude. Like,
it is. Damn. And, you know, it's got some stuff in it. Like, there's some humor, like a little bit of funny, but it wasn't like, obviously it's not meant to be a hilarious joke book.
Right.
But like, but I do like, I mean,
he had to use the bathroom and she's like, and you clogged my toilet. Like that's a little bit of humor. Just sliding.
Yeah. It's funny.
Loosen the mood a little bit.
And I really liked the dialogue bubbles. I thought that those were really cool. Like the way that they did like a hexagonal kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like that.
Hexagonal. I don't know.
Yeah. Hexagonal works.
Yeah, I think hexagonal sounds stupid, so. but yeah, I'm like, I thought that was kind of neat, because I don't think I've seen a book stick with that all throughout.
Right.
I've seen, you know, they do different shapes for different things, but that one, I just thought it was cool to do that, something different. I don't know, just little stuff. I liked it. They had him reading a comic book kind of randomly in there that it looked like. It was Fantastic Tales, which I am not a reader of, but I believe back in the 50s there was a series called Fantastic Tales that was out somewhere.
I'm sure and you're right, because that like,
I don't know if it's that same...
familiar, but like at this point, yeah. Everything like that sounds familiar.
So. Right, exactly. And then, I did laugh. They may not have done this on purpose. I'm sure they did, because they're probably smarter than me. But when he was I can't remember the guy's name. His friend that helped him break in was like, what now, old chum? It just made me think of the Tick, which I felt like had to be on purpose.
Right. I love his name Tick, was Will. So. Oh, Ness. His name was Ness. Yeah.
Ness. Like from Smash Brothers?
What's the main character's name?
Francis.
Yeah, like Smash Brothers. Yeah,
Francis.
Francis.
Ness and Francis. I never played as Ness on Smash Brothers.
Me either. He always got on my nerves. PK Fire!
I don't want some stupid little kid.
PK Fire!
If you could land a PK Thunder, you one-shot people off the ring. So.
Like, as I said kudos before, to those these people. Hands are like these hands are rated E for everyone, and I would fuck Ness up and realize.
All right.
You really like hitting kids, man. You really like... Kids.
I've just been thinking about that joke. It's just like, I don't know. I thought it was really funny. Maybe I think I'm funnier than I really am. I don't know.
Yeah,
so, you're funny so enough. It's fine.
Oh, man. So shout out to Michael Flazak and Todd Hunt on this book. Like, this is just a raw, real book. It grounds you a little bit.
Yeah, and I felt like the art style fit it really well. Like the way, so yes. I like my favorite thing with comics is that it's not art in general, right? It's subjective. What you like, what you don't like, mm-hmm. And I'll tell you right, like I can look at Jason Fabok's art and tell you this is like as good as it gets, right? He is incredible.
This is really good.
But then you look at this, and it's very different art style. But it fits the book so well. It's got, it's just like a street level art style to me. Like when I'm looking at it, it's kind of got this like
street
almost
graffiti.
Like dirty kind of vibe, just like mm-hmm. a little bit like a little disheveled, but not totally. And it fits the environment of what they're doing and what they're talking about. Yes. And I did like kind of the splashy, the big words being thrown over top. A couple different parts where
they kind of look like graffiti.
Yeah, we're just at first I thought it was just to announce the scene, you know, because it leads with New York, tells you where they're at. But then it's got like something like to all the birds that broke my heart or that I broke their heart or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and it's just like splattered across. It just kind of it just fit.
Yep.
Very. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, the whole book is very New York.
It is.
Like the whole vibe and everything, and like I like the straight, like the lines, like the line work is like hella clean and straight, but at the same time it still has that very chaotic look to it.
Yeah, you can see it's deliberate. It's completely intentional. Like you're just exactly right. Like a controlled chaos, and it fit really well. And I felt like I don't know, just even all of it was really relatable. Not that I'm into heroin or anything. I mean, like when he's getting into I think about parallel universes a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. There's that page about it.
Yeah. That was that whole thing I thought was something that a lot of people can probably relate to. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just like an abstract, interesting way to look at things that just added relatability and just that kind of defeated feeling that people get into that they can't get out of. And it's nice to see increasingly now, I mean, in the last 10 years, more and more people in music and in art that are pushing more of the anti this kind of living, where, you know, obviously earlier decades were doing, hey, party and sex, drugs, rock and roll and all that. And
get,
then 20 years later, they're like, oh man, turns out this is like crazy bad for you. And
right. Yeah.
And not just for you, because if it was just for you, that'd be one thing, but it's everybody that you're connected to is affected by this decision that you're making. And then it becomes less of a decision and more of something you can't escape it. You can't get out of it because of the decision you made. And now you're hooked. And that's what irritates me when we have some of these, especially in music, where they're like pushing pill popping and goofy stuff like that. And then you got 20-year-old kids that are taking that seriously. And then they're making music about it. And then they're dying from this stuff.
Right.
Because one of their heroes.
Who was that young boy? The young guy. He died in the airport.
Dude, like 4 or 5 rappers under like 25 died in like a couple years. And it was all from pills or fentanyl or whatever.
The one, I can't remember his name. He was super popular and he was in the airport and I think he had it up his ass or something and it popped or whatever. And he like died right there in the airport.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, the one I know, like the biggest one I knew that died was Juice WRLD, but I don't think he died.
Yes, him.
From that, did he?
Was it a seizure?
I know he had a seizure because it happened in Chicago, but I don't remember if they knew what caused it. I think it was accidental overdose, but I don't know.
I know he was in the airport though.
But yeah, you're talking about like, and I'm not trying to blame anybody here, but when you have dudes like who are much more established in that industry and they're talking about this stuff like it's a casual, fun thing, and there's no repercussions for it. It's not their fault. I'm not pinning it on them. I'm just saying like it's encouraging this lifestyle that these younger kids can't differentiate, and they make these choices based on what their heroes and icons are doing.
Right.
And minds are on the wrong thing.
Yeah. It's like this, like you can take it back to something as simple yet still really fucking shitty as cigarettes or Juuls. Like everybody smoked in the fucking 70s and 80s, every like TV show and movie and all that shit. So everybody did it. Now it's like, no, it's bad. And like,
and the way that they've changed, I mean, things have changed over time. And I know like my wife's grandma had said she was much older than my grandparents just because of the age gap between her kids, whatever.
Yeah.
But she was, she'd be like 97 right now, I think. But she had said that she smoked and drank while she was pregnant.
Wow.
Because you're talking about the 50s and
right.
And it was okay, and also
it was advertised as like some healing.
Yeah, and like cigarettes like actually had more tobacco in them and less rat poison and other crap. And now, it's basically just made to kill you, and it's not.
There was a point in my life where I ran on nothing but jet fuel and fucking Roundup Killer. Oh man,
I worked at an airport, so I drank a lot of jet fuel. So I get that. No, but anyway, it was a downer of a book, but in a good way. It's a good story that needs to be shared. And, you know, it's awful that happened with his brother, but I'm glad that he's using this avenue to kind of share the way he's doing it.
Absolutely. I feel like sharing it and like living your truth is very good to, you know, pass on to the next guy. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He's like definitely not the only person in the world that, you know, has lost somebody, especially a family member or something like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can't learn forward from words. Sure.
He said in the foreword that it's therapy to even say that. So
that got me a little bit, because you're talking like it's one sentence, but it felt like a release for him that he maybe hadn't had. And it's just like anybody who's lost anybody, drugs or otherwise, it's just like to be able to talk about it. And for people, a lot of people hide this stuff. You know, you hide your mistakes. You don't talk about the mistakes you made. And there's a time and a place, right? Like, I'm not going to tell my 5-year-old every single thing stupid that I've ever done. But if you bottle up everything, you don't share your idiot choices and the dumb stuff that you've done. People don't learn, and you miss out on an opportunity to help somebody who is also keeping that stuff to themselves. They don't feel like they can share. So it's nice like for somebody to be able to have the courage to bring this up and to talk about it is, I think, really significant and is a big thing.
I agree.
I feel like it's just like, especially like drug deaths and accidental overdoses. It's just such a, people view it as such like a, like he said in the foreword, just like a taboo thing. And we don't talk about this. And it's like,
oh yeah, it's fun and should. Cool when you're doing it casual. Yeah. But if you die, then it's, you can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's oh, the that's... part you should be talking about, dude.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about any more indie books?
I got a couple things I can mention, but nothing else, nothing heavy like that.
Throw it out. Let's do it.
Only just because, well, I can't, I have to, because I tweeted at Robert Kirkman and said I was gonna, which he, of course, it's not like he's seeing it, but still.
You're a man of your word. You better.
He might.
Yep. Rick Grimes 2000, which is in the Skybound X little collaborative book pile of anthology goodness, whatever you want to call it. I haven't read all of them yet. I just picked up Skybound X number 4, and I believe the final one is next week. But Rick Grimes 2000 is super fun. Not for children. So anybody who knows anything about Walking Dead should stay, obviously he knows that. Because, spoilers, Negan's there, and he says naughty words. But
got it.
But there's like, it's just cool because Ryan Otley, who's one of my favorites because I have heavy Invincible bias, but also Spider-Man bias, and also he's awesome.
I can't wait for the Hulk. Anyways, keep going.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Hulk's on my upcoming polls, and he is.
Yes.
So Otley's so good, and to see him working with Kirkman, obviously they've worked together before. It's just really neat to see those characters in color instead of black and white, which I loved it in black and white. I didn't finish out the series. It kind of, it wore me out. It was very heavy, but like these futuristic Walking Dead characters with lightsabers and goofy guns and crazy stuff. The heck was that? Did you guys hear that noise? That was my phone made a alarm in my ear. Very professional, but yeah,
raw and unedited. Keep it together here, man.
They have like, I'm going to get fired. They have like hoverboards and goofy stuff. It's fun. And there's like one little panel. I'm sure that Kirkman did this on purpose because he's a nerd and he's smart. There's a like a He-Man moment.
Oh,
again,
yeah?
Spoiler, but yeah. Negan. So did you guys read Walking Dead at all?
I've read the first
issue one. That's it.
9 volumes.
Issue one? Okay,
yeah, 9 volumes. It.
Did you watch the show at all?
Oh, of course.
For a while. Yeah.
So I bailed on both after a while. I stopped reading the comics around, what was it, like 166, whenever the Whisper War was. I finished that, and then that was, I was done after that. Not because it was bad, I was just wore out. But then the show, I quit watching because I was wore out. It's just mentally draining. But
same.
You're familiar with Negan and Lucille, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a moment in there where he gets Lucille in like 2 pieces, and he has this like yells, "I have the power," and it's so.
Oh my god!
I started dying because I had just been watching He-Man right before that. So
that's hilarious.
But yeah, it was fun. That's pretty much. I mean, there's plenty of other books. But otherwise, I'm gonna shut up until you guys are ready to talk about basketball.
Well, I think I just want to do a quick shout out to a couple of the indies that we have talked about in the past that have met their Kickstarter goal.
Every Kickstarter deserves funding.
Absolutely. So shout out to Hill Turn. Out to Midnight Highway, of course.
Midnight Highway.
And then shout out to Messina for all meeting their Kickstarter goal.
Messina.
That's it. that's all. I just wanted to do a quick shout out to them.
Have you read Hill Turn?
I did not. I want to after I saw your one YouTube video about it. And I was like, I'm gonna read this.
I hope my video helped them because like when they first reached out to me, there was still like over a week left, and they were like, oh, like a little past halfway. I'm like, fuck, I hope they meet their funding. And they literally did it like the day before it was over, and I was like, man, I hope I helped a little bit.
That's awesome. Right?
Absolutely.
Congratulations, everybody. That must be – I mean, I'm sure that's a great feeling, like to have a goal and just – and to meet it even, you know, whether you shatter it or you get it at the last second, a win is a win.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, it's not about when you finish. It's about
way to finish a game. Yeah.
I don't know a lot about winning because I'm a Chicago fan, so.
Well, I'm with you there. I'm with you.
All right, Chicago.
So, So, yeah, so do we want to talk about basketball and then
I can lead if you'd like. Because I got something.
Yeah, because you said you don't know anything about basketball. So, like, go ahead, buddy. Lead us.
Well, real quick, I don't think I ever said that. But secondly.
what did you say earlier?
I said you're going to fire me after I say something. So this will be for the listeners who stuck around through all of this. This is my first official episode as a Weekly Polls member.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah, it is. So this is Ricky!
Yeah. I made myself a cake. I sat in the bathtub and I ate it and I cried to myself. There you go. It was great.
If this was Portal, there is no cake.
So the other thing that I should bring up is this is likely my last episode because of what I'm about to say. So would you guys like
to
know?
You're already pre-fired.
Pre-fired.
I pre-fired you.
You can't pre-fire me. Frickin' Dwight. Who was my favorite player in 2012? Can anybody guess?
In 2012? Who's your favorite? Yeah. Are they on your favorite team?
No.
Okay. No. 2012.
Derrick Rose?
No, because that would have been on my favorite team.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he's a Chi-Town boy.
No, and I'll tell you, I'll get into – ooh, I'm going to get double fired because I know you guys love Derrick Rose. And I love Derrick Rose,
say
too.
Anything. Okay.
I love Derrick Rose. And
Carmelo Anthony.
No.
Gross.
Crap. I thought 2012. I had to
know. Were you a LeBron guy?
Well, I'm not like – I mean, I know he's incredibly good at basketball, but I was always like, he's not MJ. I was one of those.
Yeah, same.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and then eventually I was like, yeah, he's actually like really stinking good, so.
Yeah, eventually you grow the fuck up.
I hated when the Heat or the Cavs would play the Bulls because he was like, oh, we're losing by like 20. I'm bored. I'm going to sprint from half court, take two steps and dunk it on everybody's face. And I was like,
10 times in a row,
dude. And he was so stinking fast. At one point, these ESPN types were saying end to end, Derrick Rose and LeBron James, there was nobody faster in the league. And they were both that fast. And I'm like, LeBron is so much bigger than Derrick Rose. For him to move that fast is so scary.
Yeah, it's scary. Can you imagine that motherfucker running into you?
And he was like 265 at that time.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like a wide receiver because people don't – like he's bigger than a wide receiver.
He played wide out in high school. But I don't know if you've ever seen any of those videos.
Oh, yeah, dude. He would have went to the NFL or the NBA. He could have went either way.
Him and Megatron, Calvin Johnson, they would have been like a force against each other.
And I hate the stinking Lions, but
I'm ready to see him get fired.
Dude. Go watch a sports science on Calvin Johnson when you get a chance. It's amazing.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah, I'm with him. All right. You're getting fired. Get to that point.
In 2012, I'm going to get double fired. In 2012, my favorite player, James Harden.
Oh, fuck. Bro. You are fired.
So that was when he was still the sixth man for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay, yep, that's fair.
Absolutely.
And he was outplaying every starter except Kevin Durant. And maybe Westbrook, depending on the day, but he was so good, and he didn't care about his defense as much as his defense got worse over time. But and he wore, I wore 13 when I was younger, and I was like, oh man. And he's a left-handed person. I don't shoot left-handed, but I'm right left-handed, so I'm biased. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. And also, I thought LeBron should have got the MVP over Derrick Rose, which is
that's fair.
Not a good opinion for a Chicago fan.
Well, that's fair though. I can attest to that. I felt like they gave it to him over the years.
They gave it to him to stop giving them to LeBron over and over. It was like, well,
I don't know. He had a fantastic season.
Oh, he did. He was amazing, and I loved him.
Was a monster.
Oh yeah, and he's still even now. He's still doing some stuff.
All right, I'm gonna make you mad because I didn't have a favorite team. When I watched basketball, I had a favorite player. And so I loved Dwayne Wade coming out of like Marquette. And then whenever he won the championship injured, I was like, he's established as my favorite player. And, just LeBron coming over, you can ask Derek. Before it happened, I said, I don't want LeBron coming. But, I don't regret that era of the Miami Heat. But after he left, I was like, I'm not a Miami fan anymore. I just like Dwayne Wade. And then I was like, I got to figure out who my team is. Yeah. And I was like, I got to figure out who my team is.
Bro, so whenever
I went with the Wizards.
When the Heat went to the finals that first year against Dallas, like we watched almost every game at your house, Tevin. And like the whole time, I'm like, fuck you, fuck Dwayne Wade, fuck Miami. They're gonna fucking lose. Time we did fuck this.
Basketball related. I had a Wade jersey and everything, and you used to stink on me all the time.
I swear to God, after Dallas won game, whatever it was, and they won the finals, like...
Yeah, you went crazy on me.
I went in on you, dude. And then, like, I swear to God, Tevin got mad at me, and, like, those were the longest, like, the quietest games of Halo 3 I've ever played in my life, bro.
That's right.
Tevin was just giving me the cold shoulder, fucking, like, killing me on Halo.
I returned it with... Yeah, exactly. I returned it by going, like, 25-0 against him.
Because I suck at Halo.
Yeah, so who's the real winner here?
He'll be, like, sticky grenades to the face. Yeah, dude.
So you guys have to go watch... Master Chief sucks at Halo. Have you seen
that
video?
Oh my god!
Of course we have.
That's OG. That's early YouTube days.
It's literally the first YouTube video I ever fucking saw.
That is the reason that I will sometimes type LOL like.
Yeah.
Gosh.
My favorite one was when Master Chief sucks at Halo 3, and he's like, where are you? He's like, you got a pen and paper? I'm at your mom's house. I'll be waiting. God.
I have a feeling there's somewhere in the basketball to video game goofy weirdness is where a lot of people are going to be like, you guys are weird. I don't know about this.
That's right. And, you know, he had to launch the Crackdown game to play the Halo 3 demo. That's how old
Crackdown. That was good.
Yes, dude. Me and Tevin played the fuck out of Crackdown.
I liked that one. I still have it. I still have a copy for PS2.
The Crackdown? Or was it
Xbox?
It was Xbox exclusive.
Yeah, so then I would have had it for 360.
Yeah, dude, me and Tevin played the shit out of Crackdown.
I'm trying to remember which newer consoles I got when they came out, which was almost none of them. So,
yeah,
I bought an N64 from Toys R Us. That's what
there
I got
you go.
New. I bought that sucker brand new. My parents were like, you can pay for that yourself. Well, my neighbor got a PS1, so we were like, I was like, hey, well, I like Mario anyways, because that was the first video game I ever was given. Right, as like a real video game was, I got a regular Nintendo for my fifth birthday, and Super Mario 3 came with it.
Nice.
Now I know what you're thinking.
Game of the year.
You're older than we thought. Wrong. Because there were so few consoles at that time, that was still like the console for several years after its release. So it's not like now where consoles come out every 20 minutes.
Right.
But no, I want the N64. Because I'm like, my neighbor's got the PlayStation. I got the N64. We'll just swap back and forth.
Synergy.
Yeah. It's great times.
So, like, real quick, Tevin, have you seen the news in the basketball world before we came on the podcast?
Have I tagged
you on Facebook? Rumor has it the Lakers are in trade talks and very close to closing a deal with your Washington Wizards for Russell Westbrook, sending you Kuzma and like three or four other people and some picks.
All right, we'll take the picks. I don't know about Kyle Kuzma though. I don't know if he hasn't been performing very well.
How bad do you have to be? Like, they literally offered the Pelicans Kuzma and like a bunch of other stuff for a. I don't even remember who, but they were just like, nah. No, we're not even going to talk to you.
I'd take another year of Westbrook. I mean, I'll take the picks, honestly, if they're high picks.
So, yeah, the Lakers are totally after Westbrook right now.
Hey, we'll see how it plays out. Give us somebody else.
I bet it goes.
Give us Dwight Howard back. Give us Dwight Howard back.
Dude, don't even talk about Dwight Howard. You're going to make me sad.
Back injury, because we had him when he had a back injury, and he didn't even play. He played two games, I think, and then, you know, just give him back to us. We'll take him. We need a center. Thomas Bryant's good, but
I missed Orlando Dwight Howard.
Oh yeah, my favorite thing about Orlando Dwight Howard was when he won a dunk contest without a dunk.
Retweet.
You know what's stupid is his other dunks were better.
Yes.
Yep.
The fucking when he threw it off the back off of the side of the back and came around.
Yeah. I like the side, but the back was crazy too with those long arms.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh, hey, I just got a weird text that says, sorry, you go.
I used to play Derek in NBA Live, and he used to play as Dwight Howard and just dunk it on every single Dunks. Person. And
dude, then, listen.
Then he had Vince. Then he had Vince Carter in there, who was in his late 20s, still dunking like he was in his early 20s. I don't know what was going on. Hand through the rim kind of dunks. Like, he shouldn't have been able to do that, but
literally
he could.
On 2K10, it was Dwight Howard cleaning up any missed shots, and then, like, Vince Carter's mid-range, I was unfucking stoppable, dude.
Vince Carter is the single greatest dunker ever. That guy
double
is
retweet.
Oh, my gosh. I still watch his random dunk videos just to get hyped up about
the greatest,
doing paperwork or whatever.
Greatest in-game dunker. I will say greatest
for sure.
In-game dunker.
When he dunks over, like, absolutely. The 8-foot tall, like, European dude. When
for
he still
America.
Had hair.
He just
– look.
He jumped on that guy's face for America.
Yeah.
Straight up, dude.
Look, the greatest dunk of all time is still when Wade dunked on Varejao. I know Varejao's not that great, but that's just an iconic dunk.
I mean, honestly, Dwayne Wade sent Varejao back to the 50s. obliterated his ass.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah.
Now, my in-game player that used to get me whooped by my best friend in college was it was Gilbert Arenas on 2K9.
Oh, yeah, Woo! Gilbert. Agent Zero.
And it was crazy because, like, in that season in real life, he was kind of whatever. Like, he was good. But not like this. And he was like, and they had the heat meter going, right? And I can't remember if that was the first year or not, but he's like, he would make 1-3, and then all of a sudden he couldn't miss. And he was shooting from like a step inside half court. I'm like,
oh my
this
God.
Is stupid. Yeah. I'm like losing 110-45. I'm like, how does this happen? It's the third quarter. Like, what's going on?
Don't worry, Ricky. That shit happens to me now.
And he would just sit there and laugh, like, as he just kept chucking threes. And no matter what I did, I couldn't steal the ball because it's like his stats. I think the stats increased the more he made shots. So his ball handling was better, too. And I couldn't take the ball. Yeah. And I'm like, don't throw this controller. It costs $50 and you don't make any money. And I was just like no.
Did I lose you guys?
No, we muted you because we were tired of talking to you. Actually, we might have lost him, though, for real.
I don't know.
No, he's
I
still,
lost you guys.
I see him.
I
Hi, Kevin. Oh.
Hey.
He's living in my walls. Hello.
Oh, no, there he goes. He was muted for a second.
Am
I
here?
Think. Yeah.
Am I here?
Yeah.
Yeah, you here.
All right, yeah. I don't
Your
know.
Your mute was on
I'm
for a second.
With my internet.
What a bummer. Call Elon, man.
I'm going to have to.
So next week, we're definitely going to talk more about comics since hopefully my work schedule will work out and I'll be able to get comics before.
Yeah, we'll have double the topics.
Are you guys, like, what's your most anticipated book for next week?
Okay. I got
to
look at my
I
release
have to
list.
See what's in my catalog.
Yeah, I can't remember what comes out next week.
You're telling me you don't have this shit memorized?
No, I was actually thinking about putting calendar notifications in my phone, so I knew which days I needed to really focus on getting there.
I'd have to go look at my I can't log in on my phone. It doesn't work.
So I'm trying to remember. Well, basically, like, for me, my most anticipated thing this coming week in general, even though I already picked up the book, is rereading Beta Ray Bill 1-4 so I can read number 5.
Absolutely.
Because I'm honestly, like, the way that I've been doing my books for a long time is I would go to my shop once or twice a month and pick them up in one big chunk.
There you go.
It made it easier budget wise, so I could keep I like to keep things organized in my head, especially with money, because if you don't, you run out.
Yes.
Like, so I would go in once a month. Here's a chunk of money. Give me my stuff. And then I didn't always pay attention to what weeks things came out because it didn't matter that much. And I was doing – the only time I was on, like, a podcast or whatever was a guest appearance, so it's not that big a deal.
Right.
And then
– now you're fully employed.
Yeah, now you guys are, like, paying me, like, crap loads of money, so I have to, like, try, you know,
oh,
you pay attention.
It. You got
it's like
next week in my stack, I think I'm most excited. Have you guys seen that Spirits of Vengeance Spirit Rider?
Just a little – couple of little preview – not just images, nothing big.
Yeah, looks that's all I've seen. But yeah, the art looks amazing, and I'm just super excited for a Ghost Rider story.
It looks and I gotta tell you, I'm hoping that leads to, I don't know, I want to see more Robbie Reyes stuff. And Cosmic Ghost Rider. That's the stuff that I want to see, just because we've had a lot of the others, and I was looking forward to seeing Robbie Reyes on TV more after the Hulu, or after the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff.
And then we lost all that.
I think there's still hope. I don't know. But yeah, I think some of the art that I've seen for that looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for that.
So what's next?
I'm not sure. August 4th? I have to look at
mine. Yeah, August 4th.
Let me look at my little calendar.
I have like every Wednesday memorized for like the next 10 years.
Hey, are you guys, is your comic shop doing free comic book day this year?
Yes.
Are they doing it on August 14th?
I think so.
I don't remember.
Is that, that's Saturday, right? Yeah, it's two Saturdays from now.
Because that's the day I buy my new drum set.
Ooh, we're going to get a theme song.
It's going to sound just like that.
Just like that. No.
So, the plan is that morning I'm going to go in. The comic shop opens at 11 or 10, I can't remember. And I'm going to go in, get my free crap, head like an hour and a half away, buy some drums.
Nice.
It's going to be so Tevin. Cool.
We're definitely going to be there for free comic book day.
I never get to go because it's always on, like, I have to work every time. So, like, I'll text them and be like, hey, can you guys throw some of them in my bin? And then they're like, yeah, probably. And then I'll get, like, some stuff. The only thing that I made sure, I was like, you've got to give me the Invincible free comic book day issue, please. And they put it in there.
Thank God.
Because I'm also, like, the only person in my shop that pulled Invincible ever. So, like, when I moved here, I was like, hey, I need to get on the list for Invincible. And they're like, nobody orders that. I'm like, what? What kind of terrible place did I move to? And they're like, we'll get you on the list, man. It's cool. We got you. And then I was the only person pulling it. Then it ended. And then a couple years later, we get a show. And now it's all over the place. Tons of people, and they're buying it. You know.
I don't know anything next week.
You guys, I don't think I do either. I'm looking at the list of releases. I don't see anything, to be honest with you. But, do you guys have any, like, weird, weird interactions at your comic shop this week?
Nothing.
No, so I didn't make it in. Tevin got my books for me because he's my BFF.
Well, that's nice. Does what it's told.
I don't have anything until the second week of August, so.
I'm in my shop browsing because, like, so when I go in, I grab the pulls and then I look. Right now, I'm looking specifically for Amalgam and Clone Saga stuff.
Yeah.
I got one. I got Spider-Man 101 Ways to End the Clone Saga. Classic. But anyway, so as I'm browsing through books, I hear this kid, super nice kid, probably like 8 years old, maybe 10 tops. And he's kind of looking, and his parents are with him, and he's asking one of the lady that works at the store. He's like, "Oh, bunny mask, what's that about?"
Oh my god!
And the girl who works there, she's like, yeah, so that's not really for kids." And the parents are like, "What's it looks kind of cool. It was one of the covers that didn't have scary stuff on it."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Yeah, it is. I like it a lot, but it's not for kids." And this kid's like, "Well, a bunny mask, it sounds like a kid's book." And she's like, "Yeah, it's not." And then the shop owner kind of yells from the back. He's like, "You can buy whatever you want. I don't pay for your kid's therapy." And it just made me laugh. I don't know. Most of the interactions I've been having recently is like, you walk in and somebody shows up and they're like, "Oh, I watched a TV show and I wanted to get this issue." And they're like, "Yeah, it's $10 billion.
That's right.
Which is always like, number one. And then I'm in the corner like giggling. Yeah, one person actually did ask for that. And I'm like in the corner laughing. I hear it with Walking Dead a lot. Or like anything that has a Marvel or DC show or movie. "Hey, can I get any fill in the blank number issue of whatever?" And they're like, "No, that's you can get it actually. Yeah, I can get it on eBay right now for $28,000. And they're like, "Oh, I just wanted to hang it on my wall. Use your printer." And I'm just like shuffling through boxes just laughing. Anyway, yeah, whatever, that's enough on me.
Well, I think that wraps it up for this week's episode of the Weekly Pools. You guys, if you haven't been following me on Twitter, once I hit 700 followers and 150 subscribers on YouTube, I'm gonna give away some comics.
Yeah, there you go, follow
the Weekly Pools. Definitely hit us up.
you know, spread the word. The Weekly Pools is growing. As I said, Saturday we got our first interview as a team.
Yep.
And we'll be here same time next week. What's up?
Geiger comes out next week. Don't you guys read that?
Yes, Geiger comes out next week.
And Skybound X, which is Skybound X is my only one.
There you go. That might be my most anticipated.
And we're definitely going to have plenty to talk about since we didn't really talk about any pools this week.
Yeah. And if you follow me on Twitter, nothing cool happens. So.
All right.
We're all the swag on Twitter. Follow me at the Weekly Pools. Follow Tevin at Tevin minus the I. Follow Ricky at Rick. What's your fucking handle again? Yeah,
Z13. Tevin knows it. I can't even remember it.
I can't remember it either.
Hey, I got these unlocked.
At Z13.
Tevin's a boss.
Yeah, except he's not in charge of anything.
Yeah, y'all have a good week. Oh.